Al-Bayan Radio presents Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi presented by Nidal Ayyubi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam. Assalamu alaikum dear brothers and sisters, welcome back to our series Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah. Today we have reached the second last hadith, hadith 41. None of you truly believes until
الحديث الحادي والأربعون عن أبي محمد عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. حديث حسن صحيح رويناه في كتاب الحجة بإسناد صحيح.
On the authority of Abi Muhammad Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you truly believes until his desire is subservient to what I come with, or until his desire is in accordance with what I came with. This is a Hassan hadith. We have narrated it in the book Al-Hujjah with a Sahih chain. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, regarding the narrator of this hadith, he's the great companion, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu an. He was from the tribe of Quraysh, and his father was also the great companion, Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu an. Now, Abdullah embraced Islam before his father did, and his name before embracing Islam was al-As, whose meaning is disobedient or rebellious. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked having names with bad meanings. Therefore, he changed his name to Abdullah. And Abdullah radiallahu an, he was from the few people who could read and write in Jahiliyyah in the pre-Islamic days. And he received permission from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to record everything he heard from him. Now Abdullah used to also fast often and pray during the nights. His father complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about how much Abdullah was devoted to such acts of worship. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to advise Abdullah, your soul has a right over you, your wife has a right over you. Near the end of his life, he became blind and weak, and he came to regret that he had not heeded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's advice to greatly lessen his acts of worship. He radiallahu anhu participated in several battles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also participated in a number of battles after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He lived with his father in Egypt after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After his father died, Abdullah moved to Asham, or the greater Syria, and then back to Mecca. He died in the year 65 after Hijrah at the age of 72 radiallahu anhu. And in the books of hadith, he narrated many hadith, in which over 700 hadith have been recorded on his authority, radiyallahu an. My dear brothers and sisters, there has been much discussion regarding the authenticity of this hadith. Many of the ulama have declared this hadith as being weak, such as Ibn Rajab, Al-Bani, Al-Arnaut, and others. May Allah have mercy upon them all. Although this hadith has been graded weak, there's nothing wrong with its meaning, as its meaning has been expressed and proven in the Quran and Sunnah. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah 36,
وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل ضلالا مبينا.
It is not for a believer, man or woman, that they should have any option in their decision. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed strayed into a plain error. And Allah also says in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 65,
فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ
But know by your Lord they have no faith until they make you, O Muhammad, judge in all disputes between them and find in themselves no resistance against your decisions and they submit to them with full submission. And also Allah says in Surah Al-Hujurat, Ayah 1 and 2,
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ya.
O you who believe, do not put yourselves before Allah and His Messenger, but fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is all hearing and knowing. O you who believe, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has censored or rebuked those who dislike anything that Allah loves or who love what Allah dislikes. For example, Allah said in Surah Muhammad, ayah number 9, That is because they dislike what Allah reveals and therefore their deeds are rendered vain. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he states, it is obligatory upon every believer to love what Allah loves, a love that requires him to perform what he has made obligatory upon them. If that love is increased such that one also performs what he has recommended, this is more virtuous. It is obligatory upon every believer to dislike what Allah dislikes, a dislike that obliges him to remain away from what He has forbidden for him. If that dislike is increased such that it makes the person stay away from what he dislikes in a lighter sense, that is more virtuous. My dear brothers and sisters, as the ulama mentioned, for everyone who claims to love Allah but does not comply with what He has ordered, his claim to love Allah is false. And everyone who loves Allah but does not fear Him has been deceived. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, one's desires can harm one's religion greatly. Every sin, my dear brothers and sisters, is basically a result of a person putting the desires of his soul above his love for Allah and His Messenger. Allah has described the mushrikeen, those who associate partners of Allah, as those who follow their own desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them in Surah Al-Qasas, ayah 50,
فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكَ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُ وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنِ اتَّبَعَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ.
But if they do not respond to you, they know they only follow their desires. And who is more astray than one who follows his desire without guidance from Allah? Indeed, Allah does not guide the wrongdoing folk. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, the same rule can be applied to the mubtadi'a, the innovators. They prefer that to which their desires have led them over that which is clear in the Quran and Sunnah. This is why, historically, the ulama have called them the people of desires. My dear brothers and sisters, a true believer realizes that what comes from Allah is always best for humanity. He realizes that Allah is your creator and knows his creation best. He realizes that humans are weak, and although they claim a great deal of knowledge, they in reality know very little of the true makeup of this universe. Therefore, the believer should always be willing to ignore his desires or what he feels whenever it comes into conflict with what Allah has revealed in the Quran and Sunnah. And also, my dear brothers and sisters, in the authentic hadith found in Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "None of you will truly believe until I am more beloved to him than himself, his children, his family, and all people." So we must love what Allah loves and hate what Allah hates. And true love, my dear brothers and sisters, necessitates that one has to follow what has been commanded by Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore go against his personal desires when they contradict following the Quran, following the Sunnah, loving Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 31 and 32, say, Muhammad, if you should love Allah, then follow me. So Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. And Allah is forgiving and merciful. So obey Allah and the Messenger. But if they turn away, then indeed Allah does not like the disbelievers. So a true believer, my dear brothers and sisters, is one who loves Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam truly and sincerely from his heart, and loves what Allah loves and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves, and hates what Allah hates and whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hates or dislikes. This love will lead the true servant of Allah to act in accordance with these likes and dislikes. If someone acts in a different way, then the obligatory love to Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not complete and has a defect. And therefore he is required to seek repentance and seek forgiveness and do his best to fulfill the obligatory levels to achieve the complete love of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear brothers and sisters, all the sins or disobedience that take place as a result of desires happen because self-desire, as we mentioned, is given a higher degree or outweighs the love of Allah and the love of his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah attributes this to disbelievers in the Quran, and we mentioned the ayah previously from Surah Al-Qasas, ayah 50. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah has made restraining desires, controlling desires, one of the conditions to be fulfilled in order to enter Jannah. He said subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nazi'at, ayah 40 and ayah 41,
وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى.
But as for he who feared the standing before his Lord and prevented or restrained himself from the soul or from the impure evil desires and lusts, then indeed paradise will be his refuge, will be his home, will be his place of return. My dear brothers and sisters, there are signs of following desires. And one of these signs is neglecting or turning away from beneficial knowledge, meaning the knowledge you are required to know by Islam. Another sign of following desires is turning away from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, in regards to how one can control and deal with one's desires, firstly, as Imam al-Shatibi rahimahullah says, the main thing is to make the law of the Sharia, Allah's laws in other words, and its rulings as a judging authority that we should respect, appreciate, and comply with. Secondly, as other ulama have mentioned, we have to feel and acknowledge and be aware of the presence of Allah, that He is watching and hearing and seeing and all-knowing of all that we do. Also seeking knowledge and also being in a constant state, in a regular state of dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. These are from the best ways to control one's desires. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions about 50 ways of how to deal or control or get rid of self or evil or lustful desires in his great book, Rawdatul Muhibbin, or Garden of the Lovers. From the ways he mentioned are strong resolution, patience, self-courage, considering consequences, reflecting that Muslims have been created for a great mission which cannot be fulfilled except by controlling one's desires, also not to be enslaved by self-desires, and also to know that shaitan is the enemy that gets through the servants of Allah, meaning shaitan uses desires to influence people. Also to know that following one's evil lusts and desires will lead to someone's destruction and punishment. And finally, although he mentioned many and they're very beneficial, to know that we need to be enlightened by the Quran and Sunnah. This requires us to make the effort to recite the Quran in order to know the meaning and wisdom behind the ayat. And really, my dear brothers and sisters, as we know, the Quran is a guidance for all mankind. It lights the way for us. It helps us to know the right way from the wrong way, the path which is pleasing to Allah from the path which isn't, and from the things which aren't pleasing to Allah is following one's evil whims and desires. We seek Allah's protection. So my dear brothers and sisters, to summarize and conclude, as we said, this hadith has been classified as weak by many of the ulama, although the meaning is sound and has been mentioned in many other ayat and a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So my dear brothers and sisters, as Muslims, it is very important for us to have the correct level of iman, that we must make a continuous effort to control our desires, our evil whims and desires, and only fulfill our desires in that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that which has been made lawful by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we do, my dear brothers and sisters, the result will be attaining Allah's pleasure and being honored in this life and in the hereafter. And this is by being a sincere, true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must make a sincere effort to fight against our evil whims and desires. And these evil desires may be in many ways, my dear brothers and sisters, such as sleep, food, the opposite gender, and so on and so forth. So we must control our desires and take the means and make an effort to keep away from the things which may lead to us falling into these desires. So my dear brothers and sisters, as we mentioned, we have to make the Sharia the judging authority for everything we do. Before we do anything, we need to ask ourselves, is this pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is this going to benefit me in this world or the next? Or it's going to harm me in this world and the next? We ask Allah to guide us and protect us and purify us. Barakallahu fikum, my dear brothers and sisters. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.